I pushed the wrong button.
I believe so.
I hope so.
I can't hear myself at all. Every
week. Every goddamn week. You think? Hello, hello. Where'd Tyler go?
I don't know what's going on.
What's happening? What'd I tell you?
Can you hear yourself?
Yeah. You can't hear yourself.
No. Can you hear me though?
Yeah. You sound fine. It's all fucking your Jesus.
I heard
really,
that.
Dude? Come on.
But I can't hear myself. Okay, I got it better now. Better.
Okay, what? I hate that the show is starting off this way, but what you describe every week is impossible. It's an impossible thing, what you describe.
And?
You hear everything except for yourself. It's just not possible.
Do you want to switch seats one night?
Yeah.
No, not now. Yeah. Now I hear myself now. Well, I hear myself
exactly.
Now.
Why? How's that possible?
I did nothing. There's no reason.
Yeah. You're really loud.
What he describes is magical.
You're really loud, Tyler.
Magically not happening.
That's through the power of stereo. I'm in stereo. You guys are in mono.
I like
that's
that.
It's not true.
Thank God.
Everything you're saying, and there's lies, too. There's lies going on all around me.
What if you had some kind of cavities in the sides of your mouth that made it in stereo?
I think it's just naturally in stereo.
No, I don't think so. I think it's pretty much mono.
Coming out of your cheeks?
Yeah.
It's kind of right. Finally, something honest was said on this program.
Two big circular holes cut in one in each cheek.
All right, so.
Oh, could you do like the hipster ear spacer thing? Could you do that in your cheek, like start with little holes and just keep spacing?
You could.
Could you make your mouth huge? Could you just start cutting a little bit and pretty soon it's like...
Ichi the Killer. It's a little movie.
What is it? Is that the name of the movie,
Killer? He keeps it closed by he's got facial piercings. And then when he gets in a fight with this guy, he takes his facial piercings out, unhinges his jaw, and his mouth just hangs open.
Now, what movie is that?
Ichi the Killer. And then he gets in a fight. And when he's in a fight with a guy, he lets the guy punch him right in the mouth, and his hand is just like sucked into his mouth, and that's like his weapon. It's pretty good.
Yeah, but how does he have the strength to clamp down on the hand?
That's a good question.
It's called Ichi the Killer.
Can you call Dr. Drew and ask him if that's possible?
Who's Dr. Drew? Welcome to the program. This is the After Disaster, everybody. I swear to God, it's going to be a good one. I feel like last week's show was off.
This is diametrically opposite of what you said before the show started.
Absolutely true. But last week's show was off. And I think I know the problem.
Yeah, too much Anderson.
That could have been it.
Too much Mike.
What was off about last week's show? I don't remember.
I thought last week's show was good.
What did we talk about?
We were all over the place. We were talking all over
whole hog.
Each other again. Like it was like the 2010s or something.
Let's go. I like that phrase. Let's go whole hog.
But I figured out what the problem is. Ty, you want to hear it?
What?
Mikey and I hung out the entire afternoon leading up to the show.
Oh, yeah. All the good stuff was gone.
Yeah.
This was like we were trying to have sex for the third time.
Exactly. I was going to say we couldn't get it up again.
Yep.
We couldn't
and
go.
And you were
the
disappointed one.
Mm-hmm. I'm the one that's like, you know what? You just go fucking jerk off.
We're like, no, come on. It'll work.
I was like, I paid a lot of money to watch you two, and you're not doing it for me.
Don't think that's what I'm like at all.
Yeah, kind of are. So what do you guys bring to the table?
I got a bunch of stuff.
Okay, cool. I got some stuff too.
First of all, I'm a liar. That's the first thing I want to bring to the table. I don't have anything. No. I have a new obsession, and I can't underplay it
enough.
How
old is she?
That's my obsession.
I can't underplay it enough.
Mm-hmm. Hey, quick, before we move on, I want to interrupt there, pal, and say this show would be the worst, not just this episode, the worst show ever, but like us three chuckleheads doing a show if we actually rehearsed what we're going to talk about. Like if we actually were in there. Before
making
the show
notes.
Began, saying we should start off with talking about stereo and making holes in your mouth and then cutting
okay,
your mouth.
Okay.
I know a movie.
I got this.
That we okay. That's what we're gonna do.
We segue. We can roll into this.
Then we talk about how we. What if this? Okay. So here's
that
my obsession.
That would be the worst show ever. Okay.
Sometimes I've been extraordinarily busy lately. Like computer works just hunched over in front of my computer for hours and hours and hours, and I have now I put the iPad on the desk and I have bad TV shows on in the background. Moonshiners, which is the most cooked, phony show I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I watched about four of those and got bored. And then I started watching. Now I know everyone's seen this. It's not my discovery.
Okay, wait. Moonshiners.
Yeah.
I just got past the fact that it's not Honeymooners.
No, it's Moonshiners.
What is Moonshiners?
It's a reality show about guys that make moonshine. Totally legal.
Snake off into the woods.
So
fake.
Just make
one camera crew.
White lightning.
It's supposed to be a reality show. One camera crew follows the illegal moonshiners as they go in the woods and set up their still.
But it's fake as fuck, right?
Well, here's the thing is, you got a camera crew with these guys that are doing something that's a federal crime the whole time.
Yeah.
The entire process from finding where to do it, from shooting at things.
Tyler,
they got their guns.
With this show?
Yes, I have.
Is it fake?
It's like most reality shows where they take, these people know how to do it and they probably do it, but everything they're doing is either with like stunt stuff or.
Okay.
Wait, how do you figure that? Because what about when the guy's selling it?
Because you could just have someone show up and be like, "Hey, pretend you're buying moonshine."
But in the beginning, they say, "Do not." Yeah, this is some of the activities in this show are illegal and blah blah blah.
Well, yeah, because they can't just say like, "Yeah, this is fucking great. Just go make moonshine."
They've got the moonshiners, then they've got another crew with the cops trying to catch them. So it just goes on and on and on. I get sick of it after three episodes. The discovery that I am obsessed with, that I find fascinating, Antiques Roadshow.
You're like, just discovering Antiques Roadshow?
Absolutely amazing. I'm 11 episodes in 2 days. I can't stop watching it. And I just think that show is absolutely intoxicating. My favorite thing by far is...
You shouldn't be watching it. You're in the program.
When it's an old person, which 99% of the time, it's a very, very old person that's been lugging around a goddamn vase for like 35 years. And the guy's like, "I got good news for you. What'd you pay for this? 50 cents at a yard sale in 1961. And he's like, "This thing would go at auction for... $1,200 and the guy's like, "Eh." And I'm like, if you get that excited about it, it's $1,200 fucking vase that you've been lugging around half your life, because they always act like, "Oh, I can't believe it." I'm like, $1,200? I know that's a lot of money if it's just thrown at you.
The best part is the little treasure chest and the sound that plays.
Yeah.
And then they just cut to some other old person at the table.
But there's some great ones.
The show is so like slow paced.
It's so slow paced, but I love it. I love it.
It's the TV equivalent of sipping sweet tea on your porch.
Absolutely. It's fantastic though. But you start to get a bead on what's happening with all these people. Like
what kind of work are you doing?
You can never lie. Touching up photos. You can never lie because they're going to bust you in it immediately. Like, have you had this appraised?
And they're always diagnosing some kind of horrible disease. That's his job.
Yeah,
he's got to look at like X-rays all day. Like,
I just think that show is fantastic, and I love the ones I like are the blown away surprises. Like the guy's ripping apart a chair today, and he's like, "You know, if this didn't have this hole in it, this is clearly a toilet chair."
What?
Like, apparently they had chairs in the 16th and 17th century that there was holes cut in. You lift up there's a pot underneath it. You lift up the mat. Yeah, and the guy goes, "If this didn't have that, it would be much more worthwhile, blah, blah, blah." And they go through the history of it, which is pretty interesting. And then he goes, "I would estimate this at auction between $250,000 and $400,000. And even the guy was like, "Oh, what?
Wait, for a toilet?
For a chair, a Victorian." I like when people are clearly, like, poor, and they're "Well, I can't part with it."
All of them. Nobody has admitted. I'm 11 episodes in. Nobody has admitted that they're going to sell it right now. The person will go, "What are you going to do with it?" "I'm going to hang on to it. I'm going to pass it down to my..." "Oh, really? You're going to pass down that $12,000 Tiffany necklace you found to your daughter?" But people get way too excited over minimal amounts of money. But my favorite one by far is the woman had some small object. It was an art object that she'd had forever. And the guy goes... The guy doesn't even tip his hand to the fact that this thing is worth a ton of bread, and he goes, I would estimate at auction this is worth between $400,000 and $500,000." And she goes, "Oh." And then there's a long pause, and they leave the camera on that two shot, and then she snaps out of it after like 10 seconds. She goes, "What'd you say? Because I sort of zoned out there for a moment." He goes, "Between like $400,000 and $500,000. And she's just like, and you can see her physically start shaking, like, "What?"
And she dies.
That was a good one. Heart attack, clutches her chest and dies.
Speaking of zoned out.
That's a good show, man. Welcome to Antiques Roadshow.
Remember, and before the show began, when we were in there talking about stereo mouths and cutting your feet.
It's good stuff, man. Antiques Roadshow is good.
I said there was going to be an I had a bad feeling about the show.
Good show.
That was before I knew that we were going to be reviewing Antiques Roadshow.
What you brought here was a screw from a soundboard in a radio studio.
This is a vintage after disaster mug. These were very rare. Only five were produced. Four only ever saw the light of day. There's a fifth one.
I was actually holding one
rumored
today.
Rumored to exist.
Holding. There's two more. There's two. Because we made one for the guy that sent us the
mug. People are jonesing. People at home are like, "Ah." Mm-hmm.
I love the history though part about it, where they do the research and they go into it. And those guys are always so
good.
Clearly it's rehearsed, or they're reading off a prompter, because they know so much, and they never like slip up with the, you know, they never get tongue tied.
It wouldn't be very compelling viewing.
No, but it's the stuff you learn about the item is just fantastic. But it's funny because
Mike, you're gonna be such a great old man.
What if it was the after disaster?
Older man.
We did some research and we found out it was hosted by three guys. Now these three guys had very, some would say, not interesting lives, but other people found them fascinating. They'd go into the details.
So Drew's been doing the show from his house on that Loveline program that I also work on. And kind of tell you.
You think he's never coming back?
Massive
now?
Pain in my balls. And
you should ask Dr. Drew about the pain in your balls.
When Drew's on the road or doing the show from his house, it's just, technically, it's a real, real pain, because it's I don't even know how to explain it, but it's like I'm doing a double remote, which I should never do. There's just everything gets fucked every time I try and have them do anything during the break. It's I got to switch a bunch of things. And
who brought the equipment over to his house?
There's a bunch of automation that's been screwing the show up, and I don't know. Some engineer gave him like a little. What we do the show through ISDN lines, which are like really expensive phone lines.
Absolutely.
And that's also how I send the show out to our master controls in Denver, and then they send it out to a satellite to everyone else so they can get it in the receivers. So I got two of those things going simultaneously. They all have to get separate feeds, and it's just it makes it really, really difficult for me when Drew's doing it from his house. Or
you think
he's
ever coming back?
Yeah, he's already been back a couple times, but then he's like, I'm going to stay at home the next couple days. So
because once I brought my computers home, I never brought him back to my office.
Oh, I could see him not wanting to come back necessarily on a regular basis, but no, the higher ups will not allow that.
8 years, I haven't worked in my office.
Maybe they'll just make you start going to Drew's house every night.
Hey, since you found the Antiques Roadshow so boring, how about this exciting news that I can't go into too much detail because I already got in trouble. Oh, go ahead.
No, you go. I'll come back to my Drew stories. Go.
I love
how in Mike's world though, that's the end of the story.
I did.
Like, Drew's being a jerk. You're upset.
You paused. I thought that was a pause for someone else to jump in.
Okay, go ahead.
I get a call 8 a.m. a few days ago.
Is it my neighbor girl?
Yes.
How wants you to come over and play?
You want
to
come over and play?
I almost vined them today. I almost vined her and her blind sister.
Might be illegal.
I figured out the whole. Okay, little girl knocks on my door 8:13 a.m. on Sunday morning. Wants me to come over. This whole week,
not the previous.
A few weeks ago. And then last Halloween, the girl came up who was blind and mentally challenged, and her housekeeper or caretaker heard me say, "Oh, you're a victim. You're not like a killer. You're like dressed up like a victim." And her caretaker said, "Ooh. Oh yes, she is retarded." Okay, those two are related. I didn't realize that until just today when I saw them together walking down the street.
She's blind?
She's blind, yeah. Oh, it was really cute, though. Like, the little sister, the little one that wanted me to come over to her house a few weeks ago, actually went on our tippy toes and gave her little blind sister a kiss on the cheek.
That's cute.
Yeah, it was cute.
I don't like the fact you're leaving your blind, semi, or mentally retarded child at home with a housekeeper or with a caretaker who feels free to call her retarded.
Yeah, that's
because
that
odd. would lead me to believe that she thinks she's an animal. Probably chains her up.
Single mom, you know, two kids. One of them's... I was on the roof doing some work the other day on my roof.
What could you possibly have been doing on the roof?
Well, I had some plumbing issues, and I still fancy myself a plumber despite the fact that I just caused my parents a whole lot more money last time.
Were you snaking through the vent?
Yes, snaking the vent.
That's smart, actually.
Turns out
that's the way to do it.
If you snake like the main drain, like the shower drain, that doesn't work. Then you can just snake the toilet.
My main drain.
You can snake the tub, and then if all those are not having an effect, there's these vents. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Now I feel pretty like I'm in the know.
Yeah.
I walk around the neighborhood. I'm like, it looks like they have a bathroom in that corner of the house.
Yep.
And then over there.
That's how you can tell.
Where are those little vents? Because it's like.
Speaking of snake, have you guys ever seen that movie poster for that shitty B movie called Black Cobra? It's a chick with a snake wrapped around her. And the tagline is, "How much snake can one woman take?"
What?
At least it rhymes.
I'm going to post the poster right now.
You guys seen a trailer for Frankenstein's Army?
No.
Holy shit.
Yeah, the Russians are behind enemy lines in World War II, and they stumble across this this Nazi training ground for scientists. And
Frankenstein's army.
There's just all these like horrific human creature things that the Nazis have been working on for years during the war. That's pretty fun. It looks really fun.
Sounds awesome.
Is it a real movie? Like, is it a theatrical release?
Soon. I think it might be in a few theaters already. Yeah, excited.
We got to go see it.
All right, so, anyways, I was snaking the drains. So they have these vents, Tyler. I don't know if you even know this. Do you know this, Mr. Tyler? They got three vents. So they got a vent, like, every time you have a sink, anytime there's a drain, they got to have a vent above it, too, where air can get out. Otherwise, like, air will get down.
Well, one vent works on a bunch of drains.
Well, there's three for my bathroom. Why is there three? One for the toilet, one for the sink and shower, and one for the tub.
I've seen houses that have one vent. Maybe they just all
Maybe they're old
meet.
And stupid.
Yeah, maybe.
So I'm on the roof, snaking those things, looking because I was just looking for that.
Snaking, bruh.
When it finally just like get the clog out and it just like everything just goes. I was looking for that satisfaction and I didn't get it. Kind of wanted to be a plumber for a half a minute.
You got a little bit of it.
I call Mike Diamond.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah. Speaking of which,
why didn't you call Mike Diamond?
Oh, fuck no. Because I went to Yelp, and everyone hates Mike Diamond on Yelp. God. And then I was looking desperately for Mike Diamond ads. The radio ads, tie. And Didn't find any ads, but I told Mike last week, I think, while we were hanging out before the show, that I did find many articles, some going back to 1996, talking about how racist Mike Diamond is.
Mm-hmm. It came up at the end of the last episode.
God damn it!
Yeah, but still, it's an interesting...
So anyways, I was on the roof, and I heard my neighbors, and it sounded like something horrific was happening.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like sex?
It sounded like maybe sex that wasn't wanted.
Are you serious?
It could have been. Or it could have just been like a really bratty child. It's really hard to tell.
So what'd you do?
Did you convince yourself it's probably just a really bratty child so you didn't have to intervene?
Yeah, of course. What am I going to do? Plus, it's one of those houses where instead of like blinds, they have like the drapes that blow in the wind.
Oh.
And I was just kind of staring at this window and the drapes were blowing in the wind.
A scary movie.
And I could hear the sounds coming
from
across
the
street.
So in 3 years when it's like, a man keeps children chained up in the basement,
you'll be like, I knew it. I knew it. Hey, I was.
That's why everyone says, you know, he was a real nice guy. Like, I never would have suspected it. Because they'd heard weird shit and don't want to get called on not reporting it. So that's why they all go, oh,
no one wants
great.
To, face the camera and go, I knew something was happening in there. I just didn't do anything about it.
I was like, pretty sure that guy was raping people.
Yeah, I heard it. But I didn't do anything.
Well, I'm going to.
You got to call it.
Anderson, I know what you're feeling because
what are you supposed to do?
Okay, what am I supposed to do? Because I have
just say we had a report. They won't know it was you.
Yeah, I've had insomnia.
I'm supposed to call? I'm supposed to call someone. And say, like, 3 weeks ago, are you saying that I'm supposed to call someone?
Yeah, you should have at the time.
Oh, it's too late. Okay.
I've had insomnia in the last 3 weeks twice where I didn't sleep one moment at night. And then the last one was last week, and I decided to go cruise over the hill and walk Hollywood Boulevard. And it is nothing but the creepiest of creeps at 4:35 in the morning, including a prostitute walking down the street with two dudes following her, harassing her, going, what's your problem? Why are you crying? How much? How much to suck my dick? And she's like, why are you bothering me? Crying. And
maybe
I'm
she
right
a prostitute.
Feet from me. She may
see,
not
did
have been.
Did you see Mike's vine of it?
She may not have been, but the whole thing stuck me in this weird predicament. Like, I knew I had to do something, but what am I going to do?
For those of you who may not have seen it, it went like, those two guys are like messing with this prostitute. I feel like I have to do something now. And then the next vine is, I'm uncomfortable and I feel nauseous. I have to go take care. I got to do something about this because it's wrong. And then the next vine is like Mike just driving down the street going, look at this, a trash can out in the middle of the street. That's right. What's up with that?
Mike, you're the Hulhauser of Vine.
What happened?
What do you mean?
What happened? Well, there's a gap there in your vines.
I don't know. I pushed out. I'm not going to tell these two guys, leave that prostitute alone.
He's like, I'm not a prostitute. And then they beat you up for calling her a prostitute.
Guy with a chocolate donut
like
in his hand.
Women.
I did bring pepper spray with me, though. The whole street is creepy. It's the worst place. It's the worst street in Los Angeles.
Real quick.
There's a lot of streets in Los Angeles. I don't know if you can really say that. Yes, Ty.
I don't know what reminded me of this, but if you guys noticed some people at the urinal in the men's room.
Oh, my God!
What?
Go ahead. I got hit on in the bathroom. Go ahead.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the guys that just straddle up to the urinal and then just unzip and then just put their hands on their hips like they're like Western sheriffs?
Yeah, yeah. I definitely brought this up on a 3 years ago show.
We talked about it.
At CBS, I noticed every time I went into the restroom there, the guys stood in a different way. And one guy, one of the big executives, would unzip his pants, take his dick out, and put his hands on the wall like he was being frisked. And but he was like 70 years old. That's how he did it. And I was like, what is that?
So I put one hand on the wall, one on the hip.
I don't touch anything but myself.
All right, so I'm at the took Jillian to see the Heat a couple days ago, and
quick, I was at a Dodger game 2 weeks ago, and the guy next to me, a man, dropped his pants all the way down his ankles.
Dodger fan?
Yes.
Dodger fan. Yeah. That's how you guys roll?
Oh, Dodger I was fan. Doing it too. It was just funny to see him do it too.
Copycat.
So the guy, I run to the bathroom real quick before the movie starts. Smart move. And guy next to me. Normally, I can't see the guy's dick in my peripheral, even though I got really good peripheral. But
you got that dick checking peripheral.
Usually, I don't see it. But I could see this guy's mainly because he was pulling it out, like stretching it. You know, you can stretch it to see. And he was doing that. And then he was trying to squeeze pee out almost, trying to get it started.
I don't like that. It's not an udder.
I don't like it.
Jesus trying to get it started or finish it.
Yeah, is he a cow?
And he kept pulling. It was just he and I in there. And I was really aware of that, grotesquely aware of just the fact that it was just he
and
I.
Were you next to each other? And there was like urinals everywhere?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, why did he sidle up next to you?
No, he was already at one. There's only three. And he was in the middle one. Yeah.
Ah, fucker.
Middle one, checkmate.
So I went to the little
tic-tac-toe,
kid one.
Urinal tic-tac-toe.
I don't like the little kid one either.
Little kid one feels
splash.
Like you're peeing down a canyon because it's like your pee is
I'll take the little kid one.
All over your shield.
I'll take the little kid one any day of the week to not stand next to a stranger.
Shields?
He had to stand next to him anyways.
What are those called? Your shins. God damn my brain.
Mm-hmm. They're shields, technically.
He's pulling it out and he's like bending it around. He's trying to like warm it up. And he's like a probably
puppetry of the penis guy.
30-year-old guy. And I'm thinking this is awkward and uncomfortable. And then he speaks, which is a faux pas.
Oh, no, you don't speak.
Not talk.
You don't speak.
And I didn't realize it at the time, but I did feel creepy at the time. And not because I'm homophobic or anything. It was just, you know, it was inappropriate. And his question was, do you know if they have long trailers here? And I'm like, like everywhere else, man, like 10, 15 minutes. And then I thought he shouldn't have said long while holding his, stretching his dick out, standing next to me. And then I was thinking, was that his like invitation? Like, you know, I got some time. You got time?
Yeah, you got 4 minutes.
So I ran back, whispered the fact into Jillian's ear.
I'll be back. I'm going to go get a BJ.
I think I just got hit on. And she rolled
her
eyes.
Do you want popcorn? I'm going to go hook up with a guy in the bathroom.
Want a refill?
Extra butter.
All right, so Mike, what were you saying? I'm sorry.
Fuck, I don't know. Now I'm creeped out by your story.
You could tell me about. You could tell us that you have insomnia.
I get a call 8 a.m.
Oh yeah, yeah.
She's definitely she's definitely shaken up.
Oh.
One of the girls that works at the improv. Your office got broken into. Someone kicked the door open.
Your office broken into.
So I'm like, motherfucker.
This is how many vines you make that I forget that you vined that your office got broken into.
I take my sweet ass time getting dressed and I drive over there. And I'm the whole time I'm definitely sick because I have a computer in there that has everything. So I'm like someone has all my photos. Then not anymore I don't, but I did. I'm driving over there.
What was that?
No, I mean I don't leave anything in there now.
Oh,
I'm driving over there, I get there. They didn't take my computer. Amazing. But destroyed my door.
How shitty is your computer?
It's brand new iMac.
That's weird.
Here's the thing is, the guy kicked all the doors open. About 6 hours later, I get a call. You got to come in and look at the security footage. I'm in San Diego. Sweet. I will come in. So I watched it last night, or 2 nights ago, and I was told you are not allowed to post this, which I did post something, and I took it down immediately. On Vine, the dude is in the parking lot hanging out. Our manager, who's this tiny little girl, is leaving at 3:05 in the morning. He's hanging there. She's kind of just watching him. She drives away. 10 minutes later, the camera picks him up coming in the window on the second story and goes in the kitchen, gets a butcher knife, and walks from office to office kicking the door open with the butcher knife in his hand. I swear to God. Now, I think I should stop talking about this now, but that dude walked around with a knife, like kicking doors open.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't take shit.
Take anything.
Took some booze.
That is horrifying. That's creepy shit.
Maybe he was practicing.
Mm-hmm. Now that place is on fucking lockdown. Now there's a fucking alarm and all this other shit.
This is the Hollywood Improv?
Yeah, yeah.
The new one they just redid?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's one of the comedians who's on
the footage
the
is
mural.
Fucking harrowing. Like the guy gets the knife out. I'll show you the 6 second clip in a few minutes.
Yeah, I want to see that. All right, well, we can wait till after.
No, keep talking. I got to find it.
No, I don't think you
after
should post
the show.
It.
Plus, the cameras are on in there.
I did post the how much snake can one woman take
hey, is
on our Facebook page.
Is anything, are we broadcasting this anywhere or is it just, it is. Where?
The internet?
Did I push record on that?
Nope. Yeah, you did.
All right, I'm watching the video now. And,
there's the knife.
That's oh, wait, knife. Wait, you didn't even say the part that he has like some kind of weird towel over his face.
What?
He put a mask on.
He put a mask on. So
what?
He was looking for someone to kill, right?
Mike, what if you'd been working late? You would have been murdered that night.
No shit. I'm always there late. I'm always there at the very end.
What if he comes? Because usually, a lot of time, I'm the last one in here.
You got Reggie.
Yeah.
We got to see if Reggie can moonlight over there.
They find any clues? Are they going to go get him?
No, it's cool. The cops said they're busy.
No, you got to see
know.
This. The guy
I don't
looks,
know.
Creepy as fuck. He's got like some kind of towel.
You can see
over
his face.
No,
you can see his face
really?
When he's walking up to the club, clear as day. But well, not clear as day. But it's a white guy with a beard, and then he puts on a mask, and then goes and pulls out the butcher knife.
That's a weird. It's a weird, weird thing. Strange thing, right? Like, why? Who's he looking for? Does anyone have any idea what's going on?
Mm-mm.
No clue. Do you think he's looking for Jay Leno?
Maybe he doesn't like funny business.
Maybe.
Do you think maybe it's the guy that painted the mural and he heard the show? He's looking for you?
You know, it's funny. Yeah. That's funny because I have to cool out on the mural talk. I know I haven't done a lot on this show, but I was told to back off. But last night I was standing in the... Oh, you know who I saw? Listener Malia. Came to the improv last night.
Oh!
And when she came, I was...
It was Malia.
Spade and I were walking around making fun of the mural. And then I had to like tell him, I go, I got to chill out so people don't hear us because I'm in trouble. Mm-hmm. And he said... And it's, at least it gives comics something to make fun of. And I was like, okay. If the guy whose picture is right there, front and center.
Yeah, his is the least bad, though.
Yeah, that's what I told him. I go, yours is the best one. And then he's taking pictures of it to send to Sandler. He's like, I'm sending this to Sandler right now. And I was like, oh, fuck, don't do that.
This is just rampant name dropping. Rampant.
Well, it's a story.
All right, so speaking of name dropping. So, I'm dealing with Drew, and it's like the third day in a row. And it's real shitty when I got to deal with this. Because also, for anyone to talk to Drew.
You hit that segue right on our schedule.
What do you mean?
We talked about before the show.
Oh, yeah. I got the map, dude. I got this.
Perfect, thing. Perfect. My prompter's out, you guys. I don't know what to do.
Just vamp.
Oh, what do I talk about?
So when Drew is on the road or at home or doing it through this ISDN that I just told you about, everyone needs to talk to him. And it's always bullshit. And the only way to talk to him is I got to push a little IFB button, hold it down while somebody else talks to them. Everyone's terrified to go near that board. So I'm like, come over here. You can talk to him yourself so I don't have to fucking act like
I held it down myself when I talked to him.
Like I'm goddamn Stephen Hawking's assistant. And you just push this button right here and then let go. It's like a CB. Everyone wants to talk to Drew when he's in here and he's walking around awkwardly and no one says anything to him. Have you noticed that?
Terrible. Sort of.
Terrible. So Chris is like, oh my God, I need to talk to him. And I swear to God, it was the most banal bullshit, whatever she needed to talk to him about. But it was the third night in a row, and I decided to just speak with him the entire night through the IFB like this. Like, what's up, Drew? Oh, right on. All right, bro. I'll get you hooked in here in a second. Is the sound good? You got the mix good? And, like, he was angry but never addressed it once. I could tell that he was really pissed. All night! Like, all right, bro, it's cool. Dude, you got 4 minutes right here. We're break for 4 minutes. I spit when I talk like this too, sorry. And never addressed it. Now, that was fun. Good time. Really pissed off Drew. Here's what I wonder though. Like that kind of speech, like all the surfers use it. And I talked to who's the Red Bull guy? Who's the Red Bull guy?
I don't know.
The guy that's the Travis Pastrana.
Pastrana. I thought you meant like the guy who owns the company.
Is it Travis Pastrana?
Mr. Red Bull.
He doesn't talk like that at all, but he's like the ultimate bro. So I was like, why does everyone talk like that, but you don't? And he said that it goes back to Point Break and it's what's his fuck.
You know who does that all the time is, I don't know if you've heard him, but the daytime DJ on Star. Or
talks like that.
He's like, dude, we got a cool new track coming up from Rancid for your drive home. And I'm like, what is happening?
Doing that on purpose?
I don't know. But I thought it was a joke the first time I heard it. I was like, oh, that's funny. And then it kept going.
There's people I really like that are bros, like Swartzen.
Swartzen's kind of a bro, but he doesn't talk like that.
On stage, he does.
All right. But that's like the origin of that. But like the lady who kind of talks like this. And it's always like, well, I have a lot of blueberries.
Yeah.
And I thought I would make a caramelized reduction. Where the fuck does that, what are the origins of that? And how do we find that out?
I think the origins of that are psychological because I think when you leave that ending higher, that's a question. Like, you don't know. That denotes no confidence.
Without giving.
Don't you think?
Don't you think? That's usually how it is described. Now, I watched a person who talks that way train another person who was working phones who talked that way even more, and the one that was training the newbie said, whenever you talk it sounds like you're asking a question and you really shouldn't do it that way.
That's why I think it's terrible.
The trainer didn't know that she did it too. It was unbelievable. It was the blind leading the blind. And do you think it just come?
Yes, she is a retard.
That would be the worst. That any person in a position of authority, if they did that, it would be horrible. Like a judge, I'm going to sentence you to prison.
Like, I'm going to sentence you to prison for like 5 years for like stabbing that guy because that was like really wrong and his family's like really sad now.
And a jury of your peers has found you guilty.
So, but
I'm going to ask you this. Did you kill that guy?
People don't know that they say that. When I saw someone training someone else not to talk that way while they were talking that way.
Isn't that just like a lower key version of like that Valley Girl thing that was big in the 90s?
Probably.
The 80s, Tyler?
90s, 80s, the 80s, 90s.
Totally 80s because when did Valley Girl come out?
84.
I don't know what that
85.
Frank Zappa's best song, even though Zappa fans will want to try to kill me because I said that.
So I can't stand it. And there are
all eight of them.
This voice runs rampant in the
hardcore reality show world.
They all talk that way. There's tons of them. And I'm constantly
we should do the rest of the show talking like this.
You know what would be worse? Is talking like this. So we're going to do the show.
1983. Valley Girl.
Wow, that was a long time ago.
That was like 30 years ago.
That was like exactly 30. Tyler was
right. I
know.
Like I just did the math.
You know the story behind that song? Like he was jamming and he went and woke Moon Unit up to go do the... And he told her just talk like a Valley Girl the entire time, and it ended up being his only hit song. She just talks through it.
Oh my God, tell me more.
It's a pretty good song.
Thank you. I was listening to a podcast the other day because I had to learn about animals being slaughtered. It's a long story, but it was these two vegans, and it's an actual radio show. It's up in British Columbia, and this girl would be like saying, "Oh, and then we're going to be protesting for veggies, not fruit, this Saturday morning."
Is it a Portlandia skit?
It just sounded like it. And then later that night, we're going to be protesting against shark fin soup. So we hope you all join us, and you can protest in the morning, and then, of course, protest at night. And her sidekick goes, no, or her like co-host says, thank you so much for sharing that. Every time. Every time.
Oh, why are you listening
every
to
time?
This?
Well,
what is that show, by
it's
the way?
It's awful, and I will share it with
why
you.
Why did you
program.
Listen for more than 1 second?
Tell us what show
I needed
it
to
is.
Listen to an interview. Because they were interviewing the chick that directed Blackfish.
And you saw Blackfish, right?
Yeah, and I love Blackfish. Blackfish is great. And I wanted to hear
but
more.
But is it heartbreaking?
Yeah, I mean.
Worse than The Cove?
No. Cove will fuck you up. But these two chicks were talking about Earthlings, which is supposed to be even worse, which is I will never watch Earthlings. Earthlings is all hidden cameras at like research facilities and just places where they treat animals badly. Can
don't they
imagine?
Put a sign up that says no hidden cameras?
Joaquin Phoenix narrates, I will never watch that. And if Brian ever found out, that was like that's like my least. If I could pick one movie, I'd never want to see.
Oh, make you watch it.
Yeah,
have you guys? Did you guys see that video that was going around this week of the two dudes swimming that almost get eaten by two whales?
Yeah, I saw that. It was pretty great.
No, I didn't watch it. It was the same way you felt about the throwing the raccoon video. I looked at it and couldn't click it.
Why? You couldn't make yourself do it?
Yeah.
Well, whales, the humpbacks have this thing where they go down to the bottom and they circle and then they blow little air bubbles out, so it makes like an air net. Because they don't have nets.
Blind the fish, right?
They don't build them. And then it freaks out the fish. The fish feel like they're in a net, and so they start trying to get away, and they all swim together to the surface, and the whales just come up and scoop them all up. And there's a couple fucking divers right there who almost got swallowed whole.
Like, is a foot from him. He would have just been in the whale's mouth.
Yeah.
And it's just open mouth comes tearing up?
A giant,
scary
mouth.
Did it only happen once?
Two whales at the same time.
There was a couple guys that were within reach. And
all of a sudden you see the water start to shake because all the little tiny minnows are like
getting
to the surface.
After the show. It's pretty sweet.
Oh my God, it's horrifying.
Okay, you know what?
It's pretty great.
I wasn't going to swim in the ocean far enough out where there's whales anyway, and now there's not a chance in hell I'm going to ever do that. The minute I see one fucking bubble, I'm like, ah!
Wow, I don't know if you should make that sound ever.
I was on day 4 of jury duty today. Which is, and we're not even like, it's just the jury selection process right now, which is a grueling endeavor. I assume you guys have done that before.
I've never done it. I've gotten out of it every single time.
Just burn them.
And I don't give a shit if people tell me it's your civic duty. I couldn't care less. Guess what else? I don't like carpool lanes.
Just because you're a lonely man that never has anyone in the car.
I will say I've avoided jury duty, and I've had problems avoiding it, by the way. Where I've had to prove I didn't live in San Diego anymore, and then when I get one in L.A., I had to prove I didn't live in L.A. anymore.
That's good. You should admit it on a national podcast.
But I will say...
International, even.
I will say that I do think, seriously, it would be kind of fun.
Imagine Mike being like the 12th juror in your fucking juror room.
I couldn't get out of my work, though. There's not someone there to do my job.
He would start off by trying to sell the entire room on fudge with salt on it that you can buy at Ralph's for $3.99. And they'd be like, okay, yeah, but what about this guy that killed the guy?
There's plenty of times that I thought about Mike because these people, they call up like 18 jurors at a time or whatever, and then they start asking them. They make you say like where you're from and what you do for a living, if you're married, if you've been the victim of a crime, if you've witnessed a crime. And some of these, like, you're just supposed to be like, yeah, I'm from Pasadena. I work at whatever social media agency and – I've never seen a crime, or I saw someone, I'm the victim of assault or something like that. And then people are like, well, one time, like 25 years ago, I saw a guy
break into,
they think that they're like filling out like a police report, and it is
So this is in front of everyone else?
Yes.
It's like public?
And there,
there's a cop taking notes. What?
Maybe they're trying to get out of it. Maybe that the more checkered your past, the more stuff you've seen, the more biased you're going to be. Oh, yeah,
these people aren't smart enough, trust me. The one thing I've learned is I don't want a jury of my peers. So this is a big case. It's like a felony case. Like, we have to go through extra metal detectors.
What do you do?
I'm not supposed to talk about it.
So what?
There's some shooting involved.
If you live by my rules, you're not supposed to be there to begin with.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
What if that's all it took to make you buckle? All right, I'll tell you what happened.
So there's a shooting involved, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
City of Pasadena?
What?
In Pasadena?
No, this is in... I have to go downtown for this.
Oh.
So there's 120 of us sitting
in
this room.
You got to pay for parking?
All day. No, it's free parking.
What time do you have to be there?
10 a.m.
Yeah, see, that's why I say no.
How much you get?
How much do you get?
$5 a day, right?
You get $15 a day, plus they give you like the federal stipend for like your gas, which is like 50 cents a mile or something like that.
That's not bad. And then...
tell them you moved to Arizona.
What about your job wages law? So they don't care about that, right?
This case is supposed to go until the end of August.
Sweet.
And so they pre-screened out everybody that only gets paid like a certain amount of days for jury duty. Like, if you don't get paid for jury duty, you would not have qualified, but I'm salary, so it's just like, and my company has no policy. They're just like, you just finish your civic duty.
Wow.
So I knew that I was going to get called because I was one of probably 20 people in the room.
Is your work like, just tweet us when you're done, bro?
No, my work is not happy.
Tweet us when you're done.
Why would they be happy? Like, yeah, do your civic duty.
I'm not
asshole.
Happy either, because then I just get home and I have to do all my work at night and get it ready. Whatever. It doesn't matter. That's not even what I'm trying to talk about. But
you're getting that sweet $15 plus 50 cents.
Oh, yeah. Woo. So, and you get an hour and a half lunch break in the middle of the day, which is kind of sweet.
It's too long. I'd say give me 30 minutes, let me out an hour early.
What do you do for an hour and a half in that part of town? It's a terrible part of town.
No, it's beautiful now.
What?
From City Hall all the way up to the Music Hall, there's a beautiful park that crosses three whole city blocks.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's crawling with homeless people.
No. They have like guards that are there 100, like all the time. There's no homeless people.
Well, how do you get in? You have to like say, I'm not homeless.
No. You just don't look homeless. And then
what?
If you're not pushing a cart.
That is a law that they're breaking.
I think they encourage people to not be a vagrant in the area.
Hey, do you want us to meet you down there for lunch? We can do a show?
Sure.
No.
Let's do it Monday.
I'm in.
So they ask all these questions, and people are just being the worst. And this one lady, they get to the part where they ask if you've witnessed a crime or been the victim of a crime. And she's like, very thick Asian accent. And she's like, yes, I've been a victim. And they're like, okay, what happened? She's like, I had a car stolen, and then another time I had another car stolen, and then my husband had a crime, he had a car stolen, and then he had another car broken into, and then it was stolen, and they're like, okay, thank you, and she's like, and then my daughter, her car was stolen. And the like murmurs are starting to happen in the crowd. Everyone's like, what? She's like, and then a house I broke into, and then daughter other car stolen.
Maybe when they first came to this country, they were told leave the keys in the car and the windows down.
And then, okay, thank you. And then my son, he had a car broken into, and they took a laptop, and car was stolen. Everyone's like, what the hell? Unbelievable. And then it just erupted. The judge is laughing his ass off. And then finally, like, it's all under control. And then they opened it to questioning to the attorneys. So the
attorney, was she laughing?
Yeah. I mean, she knew how ridiculous it was that she just listed off like 9 cars.
Did she know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
then why the fuck she do it?
Why'd you do what?
Why would she continue to list?
Because you have to tell what's happened to you.
You do everything?
Yeah.
What the
You're
hell?
Under oath.
But you get to say, I've seen some crime.
You don't have to list them. You could just say, like, I've had some. She could have just said, I've had some cars stolen.
Okay.
She didn't have
to
go.
And then all of a sudden, everyone's laughing at her. Uncle Sam's laughing at her.
Everybody was laughing at her.
The judgment hall. I don't like this place.
the defense attorney goes up, and, you know, they start to ask you questions about your press. And he's like, so you mentioned that you've had some cars stolen. And everyone lost their shit again.
That's fantastic.
Another lady, also a nice Asian lady, they asked, have you been the victim of any crimes or whatever? And does anyone you know, have they been arrested or convicted of a crime? And she goes, well, is selling alcohol to minors a crime? Everyone laughs and the judge is laughing. He's like, yes, that's a crime. And she's like, oh. it was my mom. And then so everyone laughs again because she's like selling out her mom. And then the laughing dies down. She's like, but she didn't know. Ridiculous.
I get that they own a liquor store or something?
Yeah.
She didn't know.
Of course she didn't know.
She owns Everybody a liquor store, didn't know. That's right. Yeah.
So it's been, you can't do anything in the room. You can listen and drink water. That's it. I can't even have a paper pad out and like scribble notes or doodles or
How
anything.
How many hours is that?
It's about like 9:30 to like 9:30 to like 10:30 or 11.
I think you have to be there at 10.
Monday I have to be there at 10, but most days I have to be there at 9:30.
So you're just sitting in a room. All these hours are spent without your iPad.
For about an hour
iPad.
And a half, you just sit there and I just tap my fingers and like whatever. And then
you've never been, Mike?
No.
Yeah, neither have I.
And then they give you like a 10-minute break, and then you come back in, and then you're dismissed for lunch for an hour and a half, and then you come back, then you get a 10-minute break about an hour later, and then come back for another hour, and then it's okay,
oh
go home.
God, I've only been in a courtroom once since when I was protesting a speeding ticket. And it was humiliating and a ridiculously stupid experience. I was like first one in, and I said guilty with an explanation, which was an option. Sit back down. They wait till they go through the entire docket, and then they bring you back up. All right. Here's my explanation. I start telling her, and she goes, you're still guilty. He said guilty. And I'm like, he told me guilty with an explanation.
Who's
some
he?
People, some people, the when they're explaining the rules of traffic court, and she goes, you're still guilty. Some people just want to get it off their chest. And in my head, I almost wanted to go, you fucking bitch. You know, of course I didn't. But I wanted to go like, you fucking, I waited an hour and a half. Like, just sat there waiting for my big showdown with the fucking cop explanation.
The weird thing I've noticed is everybody, like, everyone doesn't want to do jury duty, right? But the second they get called up there and, like, start, they get cross-examined and grilled about, like, will you be biased about this? Well, you're friends with cops. Do you think that would affect you? Everybody all of a sudden is like a saint and like thinks they're perfect for the jury. They're like, oh no, I'd be great. I'd be totally impartial. It doesn't matter that I hang out with cops every day.
You
it's
don't
the weirdest thing.
You don't
like,
want to lose out to the other people.
What? No, I haven't been called yet. It's
what are you
going to
do? What are you
going to
do? Talk about the show. Are you going to have a microphone?
A listener,
people going to be able to hear?
No. A listener tweeted
what?
Me.
What? Yes, everyone can hear in the room when you're talking, right?
Well, yeah.
Plug it.
Everyone, a listener said I should talk about it so that I'm entered. The After Zester is entered into public record.
Oh,
that'd
be pretty sweet.
In the
that would be awesome.
Pretty
thing.
Goddamn sweet.
Yeah, all the people are just like all of a sudden they're like, oh man, I don't want to get called. And then the second they're up there, I can do it. I got this. I'm like, stop it. Finally today.
I got this.
Finally today.
That's the guy one of my jury. I got this.
Finally today, some lady when she was asked by the defense attorney, he's like, does it bother you that you know there might be some gang allegations or whatever? And she's like, yes. I will not be fair. If there's gangs involved, you have to be a bad person being a gang. I will not be fair. And they just kept asking her. She's like, no, I'm sorry. Like, I know I'm supposed to not be, you know, partial or whatever, but no.
You should say.
And so then they're like, they just pieced her.
If you really want out, if they ask you the gang question, just say, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to tell you right now, not guilty.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm thinking about starting a gang.
Because I'm not going to look over my shoulder the next 5 years, so I'm
what
saying
do you
not
think
guilty.
The human nature is that they get up there and then all of a sudden, is it because they're just trying to please or impress like their superior?
I think it's competition.
Like I think
subordination?
I think I don't want to be here, but once I'm on the stand, I want to make sure I beat you guys.
When they're dismissed, then they're like, oh, thank God, yes. Like they actually like cheer like in the box, which is really awkward that like these guys who's like futures are like on the line. People are like,
wait,
woohoo!
They're there.
Yes.
No, wait, the criminals.
The
there?
Defendants sit there in
silence.
Oh my the
god!
Entire time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my
god!
I would be eyeing them.
They're wearing like classy outfits, except that they have to wear their prison shoes. I noticed today they're wearing their like van slip-ons.
Those are pretty sweet. I got a pair that was two sizes too small, so they weren't that sweet.
How many prisoners? How many defendants are there?
Two or three. Uh-huh. Like, I'm being vague so that the court doesn't.
I would just pretend immediately. I'd be like, hey, what's up, Johnny? I'd figure out the guy's name, and I'd say
really,
hi to him.
It's really awkward. Every time that you're dismissed and then you come back into the room, all the lawyers and the defendants all turn around and just stand and watch you come in and, like, sit down. It's really unnerving.
Because it's the most exciting thing happening in the room?
I guess. It was exciting. Yesterday, there was a moth flying around, and everyone kept watching the moth.
And then one of the guys killed it?
No. No one killed
guilty. The moth. Hey, do you remember the guy? He was a criminal. Big-time criminal. Smooth. And he had been tried for a couple of big crimes, but the first one he got away with, he was a mafia guy in New York, I believe. Do you remember who he was? That after he was acquitted, he bought all the jurors like crazy gifts, like $25,000 gifts, and then trips to like Vegas and picked up the tab for everything. It was like $1 million he spent. And then the next time he went to court, He was acquitted like almost immediately. Like it's a true story.
I need to get on this jury.
I think in New York, and I remember there was so much frustration by the DA. Like I don't know even know what to do because it's not illegal what he did, and who's going to come to court? These guys don't have any money, and this guy's about to hand him like a $25,000, $30,000, $40,000 gift, and then send him on a trip. Like you know, once they acquit him.
I never heard that. Should be a movie, though.
Someone should look it up.
It should be a movie. Should we talk about our boy?
Sure.
Our boy.
What's your boy? Our boy, JLC. I understand that he's somewhat divisive. Not everyone loves him. Not everyone hates him.
But we like him, so deal with it.
Some are bored with him.
I don't love him, so I'll just be the one here.
Mike
doesn't
watch Vines, so Mike should not be a part
of this
discussion.
Mike just makes Vines.
Yeah.
Mike's like the actor that's like, I don't like to see my own work.
You know, Mike told me the other day, and he was 100% serious. He said that he wants to get a gadget, not glass, but he wants to have something where every single thing that he experiences is recorded nonstop.
I did?
Yeah. And you're like, not glass. Not like the Google Glass in your glasses, but like I want something where everything I'm doing is constantly being recorded. And it's like, why? It's just like,
no, there was a reason for it. It wasn't just narcissism. It was the fact
that I could cut it down into video.
Because
you don't want to let any of your life go away, I guess.
It's because when I'm trying to make a 5 minutes with Mike, I miss most of the good stuff because the camera's not out or some, you know.
I wasn't suggesting it's because that you want people to watch it. I was suggesting it's for your own annals.
98% of it would be boring as fuck.
So our boy JLC,
like you're fine.
Last time we talked about him, he had
I can't even argue with that.
Been trying to scale down a steep cliff to Black Beach.
Previously on JLC,
which is a nude beach in San Diego with his girlfriend. That poor girlfriend.
Ugh.
Poor girlfriend.
Ugh.
I can't tell if that was her in the last vine where he's in the backyard.
That was his mom.
Are you sure? She had the same kind of body.
Really? You saw it from behind, naked.
She got that mom body, son.
So I was totally wrong. I thought JLC was much younger than he is. He is actually living on his own, apparently, in a nice house. So he must sell lots of cupcakes.
Weed.
Or whatever it is.
I know what it is. It's not cupcakes.
Well, he works for those lesbians. Right?
Yeah. It's a coffee shop, apparently.
Yeah. How's he have enough
money?
That's
how he launders his money.
To get a sweet Civic in his subwoofers.
Yeah, you got that $200 a month payment right there.
So he broke his leg on the way down the cliff, and he had to be helicoptered out of there. And he made some sweet vines of himself in the hospital with his broken leg, right? And now he's recouping back at his parents' house, or at least his mom's house. So he's like in a different location. So it's like a whole new set. It's pretty cool.
Does he have his weed with him?
I've not seen the weed. Have you seen the weed? I've seen some RX bottles. Like he's got some medication.
Yeah, he's popping his oxys and he's touching the plasma.
And he's
plasma
really,
thing.
Really into the, you know, those electric balls. Those balls. With
oh
electricity.
Yeah. His mom's got one of those.
No, he's got one in his old. You know, he's such a spoiled brat. You know that his like room is probably still completely immaculate. I'm assuming he's an only child. He's the type of kid that's
it.
An only child.
So he's staying in his old room.
So he's hanging out and he's in the backyard and we're seeing this other side of him that is probably not that far removed because he is very young, but he's kind of regressing. Have you noticed this, Ty? He's regressing back to like his little boy self where he saw his dog for the first time in a long time and he loves his dog and he's like, hi, whatever the dog's name is. Hi, Charlie. Hi.
I'm going to refollow him on Vine.
It's pretty great watching this kid learning about his past.
It'll be great. His mom's probably a nurse. So the great
thing
looks
like she might be a masseuse.
Oh, yeah. We should find his mom. Right? We should find out who his mom is and forward her all of his vines.
She gives him a very dirty look. I bet you he's an only child, and I bet you he can kind of do no wrong. Like, she'd be like, why you do that?
Why you why fuck you your girlfriend from behind on camera?
And then his car stolen.
Oh, it'd be the greatest tie-in ever if that was his mom. And my son get his Civic stolen and his sweet weed inside.
Oh, my God. My mind would explode.
So who's the listener that did that one sweet-ass line?
Wyatt O'Brien.
I got to stop saying sweet because that's my word. That's my clutch.
What's his handle? What's
Wyatt
his Vine
O'Brien,
handle?
A listener.
Wyatt O'Brien, I revined it from the After Disaster account.
Okay, cool.
It's very creative. Should we just check out the After Disaster Vine account because he incorporates a scene from Goodfellas and he's pretending to be JLC.
It's pretty great.
And it is really, really creative.
And if you don't have Vine, I will also tweet it onto the After Disaster Twitter account.
There you go. All right. Well, oh, yeah, making things happen.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to post it, and you guys can watch it at your leisure.
So, Mike, I don't think Tyler deals with this, but...
Crippling depression?
The depression's kind of moving.
That is what separates us from you.
That's always what you guys talk about if you're like, this probably doesn't apply to Tyler as much. That used to be when you're talking about sex, but now...
I see people talk about things, like, in the world. That like they see them for what they are, but they don't, like, fight against them. They're not, like... They're not like pushing the boulder up this cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you and I are constantly doing that, railing against things. Like whenever I hear anyone talk like this, I get furious. And like deep down inside, I want to change that person's speech pattern. It's never going to happen.
Yeah,
I don't even know where to begin. Nor would I, because I don't want to be oppressive.
Well, you devote way too much of your life to changing something about somebody else that has no impact on you whatsoever.
Not only people, but just the world. Yeah, I guess it's almost always human behavior.
I do the same thing with drivers every moment. I want everyone to hit the fucking gas.
It's exhausting.
And pay attention.
How do we get to the point? I mean, I'm starting, now that I'm getting a little older, I realize it's so much of my frustration and anger and just exhaustion comes from railing against things that are just not movable, and that's
correct.
I don't know why
it's a waste of life.
Paul Thomas Anderson, that director, he's probably my favorite working director.
Me too.
I get the sense when I hear
Tyler
him speak,
probably feels differently
that he
probably
judges,
does apply to Tyler.
He judges everything, but he doesn't try and change it or fix it. He just tries to shine light on it, and I am so in awe of that attitude, and I don't know how to get there.
I'm afraid.
I have
of,
days.
Yeah, I'm absolutely in the same boat with you, because I look at how much time I waste in my life, and it really, really, really brings me down. And I think about how much anger I've wasted on stuff that's out of my control, like people. You know, I get some guy does something to me. Even tonight, some guy decided to pull in front of me with no blinker, and I tailgated him for like 10 blocks, and I was like, "What am I doing?" Now I'm pissed off, and my friggin' adrenaline's about to start going. And I'm wasting my life based on other people's stupidity. And I do know people that just let it go. They focus on, you know, it's not, life's too short. And I don't think we do that. I think we just...
The car thing doesn't bother me. I'm in my own world in the car. It's my little pod. I don't have to... You know what? Putting Stanley on the passenger seat changed my entire driving habit. And getting a big fucking sedan. I'm a totally different driver
that
now.
Car your dad
I believe
you.
You're correct.
The car that my daddy bought me. Yeah. And listening to nothing but like talk radio or podcasts, like speech instead of music, I'm not like angst. I used to be so angst ridden and so like at my worst, at my depths when I was on tons of speed. I hadn't slept in 3 days. I'd be listening to like speed metal and I'd want to get in a wreck. Like, yes. I'd want to feel the impact.
Anderson was confessing to me, we were on the 405 stopped. And very, very much traffic. And he was telling
very,
me...
Very, very much traffic. And then the car was stolen.
But he was confessing to me that if he were on drugs right now, he would be considering rear-ending people
I
for
used
real.
To. It was
like,
awful.
Just like
I'd grip my steering wheel.
Thinking about it. Like,
and here's the worst thing. I've rear-ended three people. Who knows? Only I know if I did it on purpose.
I would keep it to yourself, too, in case they're listening and they're handicapped right now because of you.
Oh, there's one guy.
Some guy's in his wheelchair going, I fucking knew it.
This one guy, he gets out, he's holding his neck.
And, change my bag.
And the lady gets out, and she's holding her neck in one with one hand, and she's holding the dog with the other. And she goes, first thing I hear say is, he was in the back seat.
Oh, the dog,
the back seat.
The dog flew up to the front when you rear-ended her?
Oh, my God.
Okay, that doesn't make sense. Because he would have gone backwards.
I think the inertia, because they hit the car in front of them, too.
So their car stopped, and then he went flying.
She said he was in the back seat. You know what? My God damn, I can't believe I'm admitting this. But my big, I was on my way back from San Francisco, and we, from Seattle. So I had to
you
drive all
day. You were coming from San Francisco.
We had to spend the night in Oakland because we had no headlights. It was one of
Oakland.
The scariest nights of my life.
Tokyo.
We couldn't continue driving. The car ran, but there was no headlights. But I remember, so I see the husband get out, and I see the wife get out with the dog in the hand, and my sunglasses have flown off my face, and they're on the side of the road on the freeway. And I remember my main concern was not hitting, running over my sunglasses, because they were nice Ballaramas.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They're Ballaramas? Nice,
yeah. But I did not hit those people on purpose. Just the freeway got really crowded in Santa Rosa there.
Mm-hmm.
Dog was okay. Everyone was fine. Everyone was cool.
I rear-ended into some guy in the 5 a long, long time ago, and then the car behind me just nailed me, and I got out and walked around to look at the front of my car, and the guy in the car in front of me goes, hey, why don't you check and see if the people behind you are okay? I
was like, well, you're already looking at your car.
You got it.
My buddy literally, he rear-ended someone at probably like 10 or 15 miles an hour because, like that classic thing, like we were looking at an ass. But it wasn't a good ass. It was like a terrible ass. And we were like, look at that ass. And then we turned and he had just hit a car. And somehow at 15 miles an hour in his giant truck and like a little car, there was nothing. There was no marks. And the guy was like, whatever. It's fine.
The key to not rear-ending people is looking way ahead. Because the times I've seen it.
Also leaving lots of space.
No, but I mean leaving space. But you're supposed to look like hundreds of cars. You're supposed to look like a quarter mile ahead. because that's how people ruin it. You're just driving on someone's ass, all of a sudden the freeway stops.
You're supposed to have like, what, 3 seconds of space between you and the car in front of you?
Impossible.
Well, we would look like an army convoy if that's how actually everyone drove.
First accident, I've been in like 5.
Bad example. Maybe, army convoys are close.
Maybe 6 accidents. The very first accident I got in is like an unbelievable one. No one was hurt, but dumb fuck Anderson. First week of driving, I had already gotten 2 speeding tickets. Right?
Oh my God!
I already got 2.
You are such a white guy from Westlake Village.
Awful. Yeah, yeah. This is in West. This is on Westlake Boulevard. This is happening. Get off the freeway. Car packed with kids, like chicks, like leaning
shark,
out the window.
Shark in here?
No shark in here.
What? But
let them know who's boss.
I never wore the shark earring, guys. My mom got that for me. I never wore it except for on this your program. Shark leaping through the earlobe. But pull off the freeway, and I look to my right, and there's a 3 cops behind a guy, and I'm like, look at that guy. I was so happy to see someone pulled over besides me. That guy's fucked. Look at him. Smash right into the truck in front of me. In front of the cops. In front of the guy that I was laughing at. Everyone. And
that's awesome.
The guy that I hit, he was all freaked out. He's like, man, it's cool. It's like my truck's not really that bad. It was like a little dent in the fender. The front of my car was completely fucked. And the cop's like, you sure? He's like, yeah. He obviously had no insurance or was illegal. Who knows? And he's like, yeah, everything's fine. It's good. It's good. I'm like, wow. So I just lied to everyone involved and said that I came out of school and my
Absolutely.
Car with someone backed into it. It was parked in the street. What the fuck?
Someone backed into my car at 30 miles an hour.
And they split. What are the odds?
Hey, when you have an abusive, angry father who snaps at everything, you tend to lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I one of the stupidest things I've ever done in my life regarding a car was, and this was the best car I've ever had in my life, by the way. I was like 16 or 17 years old. And my brother and I were picking something up in Pacific Beach about 3 blocks from
PB,
where I
bro.
And he was, this is fucking, if you could see this actually happen, you'd be like, we have to stop doing the show with you. You are a fucking idiot. The passenger door was open and I'm yelling at him, get in. And he's taking his time. So I put it in reverse and stepped on it.
And you hit him with the door.
The door was open. It caught on a cement lamp.
Oh, I almost did that just today.
And just ruined, just crunched, ruined the whole side of the car. Like bent everything in.
It would probably like T-bone the. It would probably fold the door in half.
The car weighed 5,500 pounds too. It was a 55
Cadillac. What are you weighing your fucking car for?
It was a very very heavy Cadillac. So the inertia, and I had to drive over to my dad's and tell him what
inertia
happened.
Inertia has nothing to do with it.
And it was one of the most embarrassing, horrible, stupid things. And the whole reason was because my brother was taking his time getting in. Mm-hmm. Good times. Good times.
What'd you tell him?
Told him what happened. I said, oh, no, I lied. I said I accidentally put it in reverse.
Yeah, you got to lie about that one. Hey, just so your dad's
not. And he goes, why was the door open? And I was like,
you got your dad's jeans. You don't want to shame. You
can't answer that.
Shame him. Hey, do we take a call? Because we haven't talked to callers in forever.
Sure. Does the thing work?
I don't know. Automation might have changed everything. I switched it before the program. Hi, in the After Disaster. How are you? Yeah, it's off to a roaring start.
I didn't have it on.
Oh, you have it up? You have it on?
Yes.
Hi, you're on the After Disaster. How are you?
Oh, good.
Hi, you're on the After Disaster. How are you?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's the haps?
Can you hear us?
Oh, he could until you put him on. I bet.
Goddamn automation.
That was weird, man.
You want to talk to some callers? It's been like months.
Sure, why not?
Months.
Hey, you want to talk to some callers?
Real
Tyler?
Quick, got
to
get this off my chest. All right. I am a terrible speller. I'm awful with punctuation. Like, I'm scared of it. Like, I get sick when I think of writing a note to someone who I don't know, and they're going to
judge
you.
Me. I'm with you.
I'm awful, because that period.
Tyler probably can't
probably not
to
with us, yeah. I think it's like second, third, fourth grade that you learn all that shit.
I don't know. Maybe wasn't fifth. Paying attention.
I wasn't
apparently.
Paying attention any of that.
Me neither.
None of it. So I
continued not paying attention all the way till the end.
Barely, and I'm not kidding, I barely know what a verb, adjective, and noun is. When you talk about pronouns, I'm out. No idea.
By the way, I
pronouns are nouns that get paid to be words.
Do not, let's not ever do some kind words. Of, let's not do like a Howard Stern type gag on this show where we decide to give ourselves like tests.
Yeah, I would
it's
say
a Howard Stern gag?
Like semicolon?
Well,
I have
they'd
no
be
idea
like, oh, this guy doesn't know.
Would be us on Sibians.
If we were on the Howard Stern show as sidekicks, he would immediately find this out and go like, we're going to have a spelling bee every day and all this shit.
I was really good with spelling bees if I could say it out loud. That was weird. If I had to write it down, fucked. Plus, I was dyslexic, or am dyslexic. Anyways, point is, I'm reading some David Foster Wallace right now, who is a very smart guy. He's dead now. He killed himself. But a lot of people were watching that This Is Water YouTube video.
That's a good video.
That was his commencement speech. Really good writer. He's like a step above Klosterman, I guess, as far as literary means, and he's more snooty. Speaking of snooty, he has this whole essay written on like the appropriate way of using words and writing them, and he considers himself a total snoot, he calls himself, which is like he knows where everything goes, and he's very, very snobby when it comes to that kind of thing. And it's a long essay. It's like 50 pages or so. And
nope.
Yet he's pro-Ebonics?
Kind of. I mean, he's all about using whatever language your peers use. And just because white man...
We use after-disaster lingo?
So, anyways, he used the term mic for a microphone a few times.
Oh,
which,
no, he spelled it M-I-K-E.
And he spelled it M-I-K-E. No. And I was like, wait a minute. This guy and this whole essay is... Yeah, I'm like, this whole essay... And like he was actually... It was a – did I talk about this on the show or was I just talking about it with you? It's actually like a book report. It's a book review of a American Language Usage Dictionary. I mean, imagine, 55 pages, and it's a review of a book that is an American Language Usage Dictionary. So he's picking out problems that are like misspelled.
You don't think an editor may have changed that?
So I see the mic, and I'm like, that's really goddamn ridiculous. And, I, you know, maybe it's just – maybe I shouldn't be so hard on him because I work in the business, and Mike is M-I-C because it's short for microphone.
Was it a creative choice? Creative license?
Here's where I – this is why I don't feel bad about knowing about the appropriate way to write things down and the little rules. As long as I can speak, as long as we can all speak, I think we're okay.
Mm-hmm.
I looked up Mike. I looked it up in the dictionary, and M-I-K-E is the official spelling for the short term for microphone.
No.
Fuck that! Fuck all of you!
Are you goddamn kidding me?
Fuck all of you! That makes no sense!
Are you?
None!
Fucking... I don't like this at all.
So why even learn the appropriate way if there's no fucking reason for it? If there's no, there's no sense to it. No sense!
I don't like that he is so pretentious.
Michael Raffone. It's a Michael Raffone.
That makes no sense.
I know it doesn't.
It could just be Mike Raffone.
Because I've seen other smart people write M-I-K-E and I'm like, what an idiot.
And they're right. They're right and we're wrong.
Once that's again. That's one of those ones you'd rather be wrong.
I know.
Because exactly. you look Many. More of an like an idiot to the majority of people by spelling it M-I-K-E than the few really smart people that are gonna know you spelled it properly.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Okay, we agreed on that.
We've decided. We can affirm. The what?
I don't know. I was just thinking, I just had this weird premonition to tell people to follow my ex-girlfriend Miranda Shade on Twitter. Even though I haven't spoken with her for quite a while. But I did notice she's done a couple of funny things lately, and she's a sweetheart. Now that we're broken up, I think she's a sweetheart. Isn't that weird what I just did?
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
I don't know. I was thinking about it, and I'm thinking about it. I was never supportive of her, and she's a fucking pretty talented person, and she probably doesn't have tons of followers, and she should.
Why'd you have to say pretty? Hey, here's the thing. Just went in the other room. Nothing changed. Nothing automated changed, so our caller was just failing us. You're back on the program now. We're talking Miranda Shade. Shade.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Can you hear us?
I like
there,
to be
sir?
Supportive of sure my ex-girlfriends like 6 months or like a year and a half after we break up. That's when I come into my own and I treat them
It'll
nice.
Pay off. That's why you treat them, date them young so that by the time they're old enough mm-hmm. for it to pay off, you're actually supporting
yeah,
them.
Yeah,
yes.
I understand now.
I guess. Whatever you said.
Hi, you're on the program. How are you, buddy?
Doing great, thanks. I wanted to ask... Michael Raffone Carano, some advice.
I'm going to change my name to that. It's going to be awesome.
Michael Raffone.
Lay it on me. I don't know if I can offer up
Sounds
advice
like a
to
bad
you,
80s actor.
Michael Raffone.
Michael Raffone.
That's a great name, actually. Michael Raffone.
Sounds like somebody on Happy Days. Let's go on. Let's move on.
No, my question. I just started doing stand-up a couple weeks ago, and I know you know a lot of folks in the business. Any advice as to
do you have
know,
a beard?
How often, where to go, what to do, that kind of thing?
Do you want to work on how you use the microphone? It's very important that you have a good rapport
all,
with
yeah,
the microphone.
Yeah, the microphone is the most important. I don't know. I guess just get on stage as much as you can. That's the whole thing. And just keep working.
Grind it
I mean, it's
out,
like
brother.
Everything. You just do it. It's especially stand-up is one of those things. You just keep doing it. And then eventually people, if you're decent. And I think, actually, I do have advice. The most important advice is to have your own voice. Like, don't just copy other people, which in the beginning everybody does.
Right.
But, find your own style. And
if you need tips, just break into a comedy club like at like 3 a.m.
Yeah,
with
no,
a
but I mean,
knife and a mask
the important
on the face.
Thing is, we've actually discussed this before, but
maybe
I think we're under the influence.
Maybe the guy that broke into the improv
thought
just,
it was open mic night.
Maybe he's just a really avant-garde comedian, and he knew
it's
he was
Andy
gonna
Kaufman.
Be on. He's knew he was going to be on
still alive.
Video. Yeah, and the punchline was the butcher knife.
No, you need to get on stage as much as you can, and you need to not do what most comics do that are at open mics, which is never work on their act. They just get up there and think it's funny because their friends are laughing at them, and they're completely mistaken.
No, I've gone out of my way. I've specifically not invited my friends to the open
good
show
move.
Just so I can get a sense of
you know what if
you
I
know,
were
what
trying
I'm
to force
decent,
some
that kind of thing.
Yes, if honest to God, I think if somebody approached it like this, where you actually thought of it as a job and woke up in the morning and spent hours writing, hours, and then took a break, and as if it were a 6 or 7, 8-hour day job, and then went up on stage as many times as you possibly can. First of all, no matter what, you still it's not even really paying dues. You have to be on stage to develop your voice. And yep. As much as you can, it's going to take 5 years for you to even get near that, and most comics agree that it takes like 20 years to become the best comic you can be. And I'm not, that sounds discouraging, but it doesn't.
And right now it's a hobby. I've got a good day job and
quit.
What's that?
Quit.
How long's your set? How much material you got?
Oh, I've got 5 good minutes, that I've been doing the last couple rounds. I tried a different opener last night. It went all right. But I figure if I stretch things out, I could get 10 minutes out of the stuff I've written down.
Can we hear the opener?
But I've done the 5 and no problem. It was well received both times.
I went back and forth in my head like 5 times, and I landed on let's hear it. Can we hear the
just
opener?
The most important thing
making
is finding your
do
voice
stand
because
up with
if you
the
look
audience
at
is the worst.
You can be the best writer ever. You can have great material, and if you don't have a unique voice, it's still going to be limiting to you. Look at all these people, even people like that Anderson doesn't care for. Like, the one that comes to mind is Jenny Garofalo. You always know it's her.
Oh,
you always know it's Seinfeld. You always know it's Brian Regan. You always know it's
sure.
this. You know, you recognize their
signature.
Style. Chris Rock, you always know it's him. And granted, there's tons of people that rip off those
hey
people.
Hey, guys,
and copy them.
Do you want to hear some jokes?
But that's the most important thing is to be yourself and find your own style. And really important is do what you think is funny and don't listen to other people.
That's the best advice I've heard about everything
excellent.
In life. Everything.
Yep.
Unless it involves, like, genocide.
Yeah, then listen to other people. Yeah. Learn from the masters.
Or go to the right crowd.
Well, I meant genocide actually as a hobby, not a joke Yeah.
If you got a day job and you're doing it on the side.
All right, man, thanks for calling.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
An actual question.
Good luck.
Huge fan.
Huge
shout out.
Hey, you're on the After Disaster. How are you? You want to finish us off here?
Kaboom, he shoots himself.
Why does the guest 5 mic keep turning on and off?
Because Mike keeps turning it on and off. Because he's a fidgety
Thank
fellow.
You, Mike.
Oh, sorry, I was pushing.
All right,
I was
you
doing
had
this.
Your moment and your moment. Comes to an end. Hey, you're in the After Disaster. How are you? Hey, happy Friday, everybody.
Happy
that.
Friday.
It's very important.
Hi. I'll be at the dentist again.
Who you be?
I'm Lauren.
Lauren?
Hi, Lauren.
Yes.
Which Lauren?
Been a while.
There's a number of Laurens that are associated with this program.
Lauren Dowd.
Lauren Dowd.
What's
how
the
are
haps,
you?
Man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
How's Colorado?
No, she's in college, not in Colorado.
I thought she's in college.
Colorado.
All right,
with
microphone.
Your microphone.
Hey, what state you in there? Dowd?
Sorry?
Oh my fuck. What state are you in? You moved out of state, right?
Right now I'm in California.
Right now, but where do you Oh, Oregon! She went to Oregon, right?
Yes.
Yeah, how'd that go?
It was all right, you know.
Did you graduate? that was a good one. Okay. A
lot of granola up there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is there literally granola, or is it just they refer to
Yeah, that's what they salt the streets with when it's going to get
really?
Icy.
Is that mm-hmm. true?
It's what grows on the trees up there.
Mm-hmm. It rains, actually. Rains granola.
Does it really rain
granola,
too?
Are you digging it more than when you split? Do you like it more now, or are you becoming accustomed to it?
To be honest, I hate it.
Really?
Slight chance of granola. Showers.
Have you have you given some thought to not shaving your armpits, though?
Yeah, sure.
Have you hiked
at all? I've read books on it.
Did a lot of hiking. You know what I noticed about Oregon when I went to Oregon is it looks like just a haven for dumping bodies. Like if I wanted to dump a body, it looks like everywhere I turn to look in Oregon is just, that'd be a great place to dump a body. Look, right there. Great place
to
dump
really
a body.
Do you really think it would be? The
everywhere.
Desert seems better to me.
The no, desert? What the fuck?
You dig a hole.
The desert preserves it. It's too dry. You'll just mummify the corpse.
Mummies? Exactly. No, you need that running water.
That
you need moss.
You need worms.
Forest.
You need worms and roots.
You ever notice that?
Ruts.
Ruts.
Sorry?
Mm-hmm.
Do you, did you?
We got a 2-minute countdown here because I got a guy. This is one of the problems with starting the program early.
I have to pee really bad, too.
We should start doing the show at midnight again.
No,
I
that's not
like
happening.
I don't feel like myself until it's dark outside.
That's fine because me and Mike are in a coalition against you for the midnight. The union is growing.
If we
is
could it? Somehow develop some sort of time vortex.
What are you studying, Lauren Dowd?
I'm studying animal science.
Animal fines?
What kind? All kinds.
Oh, animal science?
Yeah.
Isn't that fucking biology? Why are they calling animal science? What?
Well, biology is like the study of life.
Yeah.
Not
what
just
are animals?
Animals are a subset of life.
What else, what other kind of... Oh, well, I guess you got the plants. But that's like, botanist.
Did you put like a raccoon
in
a
beaker? Yeah,
but
it still falls under biology.
Does it?
It's living things.
I don't think it does. Hey, Lauren Dowd, you're a college girl. Biology, they cover plants in there?
Yeah.
Fuck me.
You know, like mitosis and all that nonsense?
I'm completely... Oh, yeah! I'm staying out of this one. I'm like, do they? Don't they? What?
Wouldn't it be cool if we could all photosynthesize instead of eat food? That'd be pretty awesome.
No, because eating food is one of the great enjoyments in life.
Yeah, I don't know.
What if the sun tasted different in like different parts of the country? Like, I gotta get some of that Ohio sun.
Hawaiians would be the fattest people. Oh, wait!
You just stand it outside with your mouth facing the sky open.
I don't think it would be your mouth. I'm not sending down Pez pellets to you.
It's granola in Oregon.
You just take off your clothes and spread out? Is that how we do it?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we can't do the show early anymore. Because
we start to grow leaves.
I don't feel comfortable doing it early.
Why?
Because I just didn't. I don't feel like myself.
Well, we've been doing it for like 20 weeks, so.
Jillian, this is probably not for public record, but she had one hell of a day at work today. Can we start playing the music?
We're going to wrap it up on that.
Gonna tell it over the song.
I don't know if it's good for air, but or if she'd even appreciate. I don't know.
Did she had a Costa then?
But I mean, you know, we think we have shitty jobs sometimes, and everyone bitches about the job. Even our buddy who listens and he schleps.
Meat juice guy.
Meat juice guy.
Commenting on the Facebook page about how he enjoys that he is referred to.
He has to throw out those cow tongues, Lauren Dowd. That's part of biology.
It's part of biology.
But my wife. She works with the down and out of society. She's a social worker. Just got into USC too, which I have very mixed feelings about because it's my least favorite establishment. Literally my least favorite establishment in the world, save maybe like KKK and Nazis.
Wow.
It goes Nazis, KKK, USC alum, and current student. I hate them. Awful people. Now my wife is a Trojan. But she works in the field of social work. And she has to work with some very sick people and some people in hospitals. And today, middle of the day, she was visiting one of her clients in a hospital. And that said client passed away right in front of her. And that's not a good day at work.
Ooh.
And it was, you know, somebody she cared about. Plus, it's just a freaky thing. And
Did she go through his pockets?
Oh, my God.
No?
Well, I should also point out that she works with homeless people. So.
Ooh.
So anyway. She went through his bags?
Wow. Silence.
His basket.
I'm in more trouble than he is.
I didn't say anyone was in more. I'm just kind of disappointed in both of you the way that you react to this.
I put my head in my hands and
she. Here's the thing though, Jillian's a trooper. I mean, she was down and out, and she was emotional about it. And I was there, ready to, you know, not to try and fix anything, but just have her. Because first time she's ever experienced that. Hopefully the last, but there's a good chance she'll be dealing with that again with this kind of work. Right?
Did you talk to her about it?
Oh, at length. Yeah.
But I mean, did it happen? Like, did she see it coming, or was it?
No,
was he expected?
No.
Was he on his deathbed?
He was supposed to be out like the next day.
I mean, did he clutch his chest or something?
She was
or
not
did he...
prepared at all. She was not prepared.
But did he clutch his chest and just go?
I don't want to get into details, and I don't even know if I should have brought it up. I don't know if like she'd hear about this and be upset.
Because he lost control of.
No. It's because it's like a private matter, and it's like, you know, a man's life, and I don't know if I should be. I'm definitely not trying to make light of it. I'm just talking about different kinds of jobs and different experiences, and I don't know. I'm putting things in perspective, I guess. I mean, it just kind of hit me like, holy shit! Like that's like a real. I guess you know, cops and firemen and obviously EMTs have to deal with it often, but they're not necessarily people they know. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's the difference. I mean, she's been working with this guy for a few years.
Yeah, that would be much harder. I get it.
And, you know, I got campers from that camp that I do that pass away, but it's not, like, right in front of me, so I just...
What it's going to happen eventually, right?
Not in front of me. They don't die at camp.
Or they can trip on something. Fucking
well, then
cow.
That wouldn't be from what they're up there for.
Once that cow herd unleashes its fucking reins.
Cows.
What? Once that cow herd doesn't...
You almost got trampled by cows.
I
saw
that picture.
You're not going to win the stand-up.
I need to get that picture. I have no idea how I would do it.
Okay, the picture of you and the clowns, fantastic.
Oh, yeah, you saw it, right?
Yeah. Can we upload that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
We can?
Let's just
I didn't think we could.
Put like blackface or blackface.
Ah,
let's, put a black,
let's
put a black bar over Pun's face, though. I don't want to.
I'll just put the Ronald McDonald face on Pun's.
No.
I love that picture. I love your smile.
Like yeah, the, you know what? Just post the picture.
I like the email that was called Clown Off 2015. Yes,
and he's got the banana. The Ronald's got his banana. Clearly.
Last week I talked about an experience that I had at camp, which I found to be amazing, and I was trying to hope that it would translate to this year program, and I'm not
it
sure
did.
It did.
It totally did.
But I sent a picture just as
further. Can we talk about how we were just talking about how if it'd be cool if we were photosynthesizing as humans, and then we just transferred to a horrible, sad death thing, and now we're back to the clowns.
Hey, that's the like
we always bring it back around to clowns.
Hey, Lauren, thanks for calling in.
We go whole hog and bring it back to clowns.
How is Mrs. S. Thompson?
Oh, she's Hunter. Good. I saw her. I worked for her this summer.
She works with Hunter S. Thompson's wife. Yeah. Widow, I should say.
Yeah.
And you worked
she
with
broke
this
her
summer?
Leg, so I was like helping her with everything.
How'd she break her leg?
Like soccer?
You socked her?
No, she's helping her with everything. She really wants to go out and play soccer.
Hey, what did we learn? Did we learn anything from this program? Did we learn anything? Was anything learned?
We learned that biology is all of
all right,
life,
well,
not
knew,
just animals.
I knew that. It's just
we learned that Mike, Oregon sucks.
Mike is
God, that's
abbreviated M-I-K-E, not M-I-C.
I was majoring in biology at one point, too. Jeez.
We learned that Antiques Roadshow might be the greatest television show ever invented.
That's true.
We learned some kind of fact. Lauren, did we learn anything? You were on hold there for a while.
We learned so much on the show.
No, Lauren.
I learned that a first edition of The Hobbit with the dust jacket still and it's signed is worth upwards of $200,000.
That has nothing to do with this show. That's an Antique Roadshow that you're talking about again.
We learned about how the jury selection
process
works.
Perhaps we learned a little bit there.
And that you guys have never gone and that you're terrible human beings.
No.
And I hope
that makes
someday
us terrible.
You
good.
Are in a court and you need a jury.
Hey,
of your
Tyler.
And no one shows
I don't
up.
Want to waste my time. I don't want to waste
and
the court's time.
You get thrown into
okay?
prison.
I
the right
am saving
show up and
everyone's
get
time. Time is a valuable quantity.
How dare
mean?
You call us
time
terrible human beings? Didn't you hear Andrew's story about looking the other way when that girl's getting attacked?
It's I should have looked the other
you
way.
You need
was,
to report that shit.
See. I looked at the creepy window
you
with the wind.
You need to start spending every morning on your roof and keep a lookout.
You need to get one of those big dishes and to sit there with headphones on facing at their window.
What do you do when you hear a child guy? Crying?
I don't know. I don't know. But
you know that she's special.
Well, wait till it happens again.
I'm never out front, though. My front yard's scary. But I was on the roof, which I rarely am. You know what I did? I just kept.
Here's what I would
I
do.
I kept sneaking.
I got it.
I just kept sneaking.
Write a little note and put, I know you're raping your daughter.
Oh, my
knock it off.
God.
Knock it off and go place that on her front door.
But there's no
Anonymous.
Man that lives there. So
Anonymous.
That's why. Hey, guys, there's not a male that lives there. So that's why.
Yeah, not that you know of.
Is there a broomstick that lives there?
I
oh, my
go.
God, Mike.
Good night.
Did you just say?
Thank you for calling Lauren Dunn.
Is there a broomstick that lives there?
You said that.
Holy Christ.
God be with you.
I apologize.
Oh, my God.
I was trying to keep the show good. I mean, clean. Get out of
this. Everyone can hear you.
I was trying not to use profanity, and then it ended up on that.
Mike Catherwood just goes, can I close out the Antiques Roadshow theme?